Aloha, welcome to Global Yoga Flow Podcasts. In this podcast, we talk about Ashtanga, the eight limbs of yoga. Ashta means eight and Anga means limb. And Ashtanga yoga in the Western world is often associated with the Patabi Joyce lineage, which that name does apply, but there's also a more ancient meaning. And it applies to the eight limbs that make up the yoga lifestyle. And those limbs have an interesting order to them. You could see them as sequential, moving us from the outermost relationship with the rest of the world into the innermost relationship with our soul. But you could also see them like the legs of a spider or the rays of a spider web, all leading to the same center and helping to support that same center, the truth of you and you living fully. The first limb is called yama, and yama means restriction, but more precisely, the yamas are five ethical precepts that help us to interact nobly with the people and the world around us. The yamas are ahimsa, nonviolence, satya, truthfulness, asteya, non-stealing, brahmacharya, loving appropriately, treating one's intimate partner as the divine, sometimes called sexual purity, and then aparigraha, non-grasping. The second limb is niyama, and niyama means without restriction, prefix ni is like the English prefix of un or non. And niyama is a list of five personal observances. So already you can see we're moving from relationship with others outside us to relationship with self. And the five personal observances are sausha, which means purity, and more precisely that we're lucid, we're very aware of keeping order in our home, in our car, in our workplace, that there is a level of cleanliness to the way that we live. And the second is santosha, which is contentment. And the idea is not that we're complacent. We're definitely active creators, but we understand we're co-creators and that there is some respect that we must have to divine timing and divine order. So we have a level of trust as things unfold, sometimes in a way that doesn't match what the ego wants. So santosha, contentment, and trust in the divine flow. And the third niyama, and the third, fourth, and fifth niyama, those three, they make up the trinity of our sadhana, our daily practice. So the third is tapas, which is the desire to burn through ignorance or burn through what is in order to expand into something more. It takes a passion, and tapas is that passion. Often tapas is described as the friction between the lazy mind wanting to just stay with what is and the desire of the soul to grow. And they sort of rub against each other and create a heat that one might call tapas. And the fourth niyama is svadhyaya, which is self-study and study of scriptures. And the idea here is that we're doing a constant inquiry into the nature of our current patterns and how well they match who we truly are and whether or not they're bringing out the best in us. And we're studying scripture to see how people in the past, wise people, have created guidance to help move them on a path that brings out the best in them. And we're using their wise guidance to help ourselves study more deeply the patterns we've laid down and shift them so that we do bring out the best in us, so that we do offer our highest and serve our highest in the choices we make. Svadhyaya. And the fifth niyama is Ishvara Pranidhana. And the idea here is that we let go and let God, as some would say, but that the offering is, we recognize the offering of all of our actions as an energetic offering. We recognize that in the end we let go of all of the world of form, and what we take with us, the true treasure, is the love that we shared. And so we're letting go of attachment to the outcome with Ishvara Pranidhana, and we're doing it for the joy of doing it. Yeah. So the third limb, so we have Yama, ethical preferences or ethical precepts. We have Niyama, personal observances. Those are the first two limbs of the Ashtanga Yoga lifestyle. The third is asana. And the word asana, as many of you know, means seat. The idea is that the postures help the body to strengthen, balance, and open so that we can take a solid, non-fidgeting, pain-free seat and really feel into who we are. We know the asana maybe more intimately as the postures that we move through on the mat that somehow get the energy flowing and feel really, really good and help us let go of worry and let go of tension and often let go of physical pain. So now again, we're getting more precise going inward with this third limb to really tend to the physical body. The fourth limb is pranayama. And that word is made of two words, prana and ayama. So it is the unleashing of life force energy, prana being life force energy, and the word ayama meaning unrestricted, pranayama. The two A's blend as those two words come together. Unleashing life force energy. And often it's defined, the condensed definition of pranayama is breathing practices, but prana is not breath. Yeah. The inner and outer winds move together. You might say the inner winds are prana and the outer winds is the physical breath, and they do move together. And so breathing practices do help immensely with unleashing our life force energy. So pranayama, breathing practices that will help unleash or free our inner winds, our prana, our life force energy. And now we take a turn as we move to the fifth limb of the Ashtanga lifestyle, and that turn is inward. Pratyahara is the fifth of the eight-limbed system, and it means withdrawing the senses from the physical world. And this is where we begin to feel into the energy of who we are. We begin to feel into the soul, the pure consciousness. Who am I outside of this body and these senses and the relationships? Who am I as an independent soul? What does it feel like? The shimmering tejas of my heart. What is that essence? And so this is the first step in meditation. And it's not something mystical or complex. I mean, certainly it is mystical, but it's important as we start moving into meditation to let go of ideas of, I have to do it right. Am I able to do this? I can't stop my mind. And just relax and explore these ideas of an inner world or a below the surface mystery of who we are, and just a desire to tap into it in levels that are comfortable, deeper and deeper levels as is comfortable for you. Yes, there'll be a little bit of edginess, right, as the mind wants to escape this inner concentration, but we know that the soul likes to play the edge because that's evidence that we're expanding. So, pratyahara, coming away from the external senses and feeling inside the energy of who we are. And so this involves just coming away from the busyness of your life, again, the first step towards meditation, and coming to a place where there's silence and there's not so much smells or touch sensation. Perhaps there's darkness, not so much sight, or you just simply close your eyes. And you're just sitting with your pure energy. Now, the next three limbs are deepening levels of meditation, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. And dharana is a general field of focus. And a really helpful way to think about dharana is setting the emotional tone of openness, of positivity. So before we get specific in a meditation, we want to make sure that we have a heart that is hopeful, a heart that is settled and steady and at ease. If we move into a sharper focus from a foundation of unease, from a foundation of worry or doubt or unworthiness, then we're just going to take that energy into the specifics of a sharper focused meditation. And so in a sense, dharana is a purifying level, letting the armoring and the veils of the heart soften and fall away, holding our focus on positive emotions. And one of my favorite ways to move into dharana, to hold the field of focus in the positive, is to move through some emotional words that can bring that sense of letting go and relief through the body. Words and phrases like ease, all is well. Things have a way of working themselves out. I'm not alone. We're all dearly loved. Abundance is the order of the world. Well-being is the nature of the universe. Effortless, organic, synchronistic. These are the ways of natural order. Ease, relief, relax, organic. All is well. I'm grounded. So these phrases and words, or ones that speak well to you, can be used to move us into dharana, that field of open-heartedness, ease in our emotional body. And then we can move on to dhyana, a more single-pointed focus where we're looking at specifics of what our heart is desiring. We're looking at specifics of what we're appreciating. Or we might even just be focusing on a candle flame, something more specific. But we don't want to focus on a candle flame when the emotional foundation is one of dis-ease or agitation. Yeah, that's just going to strengthen that agitation. And we're looking to return to our natural state of goodness and hope. So dharana, dhyana. And then samadhi is something, it's not really something that you do. It's something that it's this magical doorway that you slip through when you set the foundation. And again, as we go through the eight limbs, you can get a sense of how samadhi would just sort of naturally draw you in. And you would be so absorbed in the energy of your life and of your body, in the miracle of being here, that the physical world almost falls away and you're just so enthralled in the energy of being you in that moment and feeling the love that you are and the beautiful diversity of everyone in the world around you and how wonderful and harmonious and cooperative and expansive it all is and how eternal it is. And you just get lost in that shimmering energy. And so these samadhi experiences are so precious, and really even just a few heartbeats of them can enrich our lives for the entire remainder of our time on the planet.